Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today, we are discussing when demons are cast out. Now, in today's podcast, you will learn why some people can be worse off after they've been delivered from demons, and also the importance of spiritual growth. The Bible provides sober warnings to the person who fails to grow up spiritually and goes back to playing with sin.
Oh, that's a good point, Bill. You know, we can actually do more harm than good when Jesus sets a person free from demons if we neglect to instruct them in the Word of God. I mean, first of all, we want to be sure they receive salvation through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we want to offer to disciple them. A new believer is a spiritual infant, and they must be taught or they will fall prey to the enemy. You know, it's such a wonderful experience to encounter the Lord, be washed clean by His blood, forgiven and set free. This person experiences real joy and peace for the very first time. However, after this person is free, it is vitally important to teach them to remain free.
That's right. And listen to this verse here. This is Jesus in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, and it's also found in Luke 11, 24 through 26. Jesus said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first."
Boy, this scripture provides a lot of revelation.
That's right.
You know, first it describes how a demonic spirit calls a human body a house and seeks to go in and dwell there. I mean, and it says the spirit is not at rest until they find a house to live in. Demons are seeking to possess humans and exercise control over them. Notice this person was possessed by only one demon at first. Jesus casts out the evil spirit.
That's right.
And it's interesting to note that the demon goes out seeking another house or a human to live in. When the spirit fails to find someone, it returns back to the original person it left and finds it empty. And this verse is revealing being, you know, emptied of the bad things isn't enough. We must be full of the right things, and that would be the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I mean, you either have Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you don't. It's so important to understand that the devil will try to come back. If a person remains empty, they will have a house full of demons and be worse off than they were before. The verse says the first evil spirit will bring seven more spirits more wicked than himself. And Jesus is revealing in this verse that there are degrees of wickedness in demon spirits.
That's right. That reveals a lot. You know, and then this next case doesn't mean this person was possessed, but shows you how sin can open up the door to the demonic. In John 5:14, Jesus said to the man healed at the pool of Bethesda, he found him in the temple and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Jesus just gave this man a strong warning about the danger of returning to a sinful life. Again, once a person is set free, it is critical they are taught how to stay free. You know, you can see there how this man, if he opened himself more to sin, that's demonic. The demonic can come on to it.
Yes, because Jesus said, "A worse thing come upon you."
Right.
Yeah, good point. That's a good verse.
So we know having religion will not keep you free from demons. But can a born-again Christian have a demon? Well, yes, they can. That is the danger of holding on to unforgiveness and playing with sin. Believers can open themselves up to an evil spirit influencing their life and at times afflicting their bodies with sickness or disease. Now, possession is different and is the complete taking over of a personality. A Christian cannot be possessed by an evil spirit, but they can be oppressed. You know, Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So a Christian can be oppressed, you know, and but, you know, also a believer can deliver themselves from oppression or harassment from the devil, you know, by asking forgiveness, by repenting.
Yes, absolutely.
By rebuking the devil, commanding them to go.
Yes, and getting the sin out of their life.
Right.
Exactly right, Bill.
And Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, whoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. So we can break our own hedge by our sin, and then that gives an open door to the demonic.
Yeah, then that's a good point. So, you know, there are a lot of believers that are tormented, oppressed, or harassed by the devil, you know, because they still are have that open door of sin in their life and haven't repented and haven't shut that door. But that was a good point you brought out, that a Christian, a born again, a true real believer in Jesus Christ cannot be possessed by the devil.
Right.
And it's interesting, though, that demons need a body to manifest their personality. And that's why some spirits are so easily recognizable. And you can see this in unsaved people. I mean, sometimes some spirits express themselves through a person's mannerisms and speech. Others are seen by a person's extreme behavior. And some crimes are so evil, it's obvious the person is given over to demons.
Right.
And let's take a look and learn more at that amazing biblical story in the book of Mark.
Right, Mark 5, verse 2 through 5 says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, this is Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been plucked apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. So a demonic spirit is involved when the person is driven to harm themselves. This man among the tombs would cut himself with stones.
That's a good point, Bill. You know, it reminds me of 1 Kings 18:28, where the worshipers of Baal cut themselves until blood flowed.
That's right.
And so we can always see there's a clue that the devil always seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, as Jesus said in John 10:10. And that includes, you know, harming yourself. And this man had supernatural strength from the demons. It's interesting. He was wild and uncontrollable. And obviously he was tormented, crying out.
Right. So to go on with it, Mark 5, 6 through 13 says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And then Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country.
And it continues, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea.
Boy, that's interesting. You know, it's interesting the demon didn't want to leave the country area. So they're territorial spirits.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's another point there. You know, it's not clear how this man became possessed with a legion of demons. The scripture indicates a legion could be up to 2,000 demons. And it's interesting that Jesus gave the demons permission to go into the pigs. Now, swine is unclean for the Jews to eat. This is also the only incident recorded where Jesus asked the demon his name. So we don't have to know the name of the demon to command them to leave. You know, and looking at Mark 5, 14 through 20, it's going on, it says, so those who fed the swine fled, and they told in the city and in the country. And when they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they begged to plead with him to depart from their region. These people wanted Jesus to depart.
I know, after seeing the man restored and in his right mind.
Right, they didn't care about the man.
Yeah, and they were fearful. That's interesting.
They just cared about their loss of income
from the pigs.
Pigs dying.
Yeah, isn't that sad? That's an interesting response. Good point, you know. And then it continues and goes on and says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim that in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled.
Boy, that's great. Good testimony. You know, they knew this man was possessed, you know, in chains and so forth. And here
Absolutely.
He was totally delivered in his right mind. Only Jesus could do that. You know, notice after the man was delivered, he desired to follow Jesus. He desired to grow spiritually and receive discipleship. You know, another example is Mary Magdalene, she was completely changed in her life, and she never returned to sin and wholeheartedly followed and served the Lord.
She's another great example. And
right.
just to go back to your point that only Jesus could do this, but now the church, we are supposed to do this too.
Right.
Cast out devils,
because
right?
Because he's given us the authority
Absolutely.
To do that. Back then, they didn't have that authority, but we do.
Yes,
now.
Absolutely.
He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be in any mind hurt us.
I know. You don't see too many casting out of demons in a lot of churches, though, which you do see it in some, though, that are seeing people come to the altar, get set free.
Right.
So, which is
you know,
great.
Jesus sent out the 70, and they came back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us. And so they had that authority. And so that's we have that same authority.
Absolutely. It didn't cease to exist, the gifts of the Spirit and casting out devils and all that with the apostles.
Right.
Just a side note.
Right.
Anyways, so to go on, that is interesting. And it says, you know, in this instance with the man, that Jesus instructed him to testify to those who knew his previous condition so they could see the miracle of God, the miracle God did for him. I mean, later Jesus returned to that region and now many were ready to receive him. One man being set free brought many more people to Jesus.
That's great. Praise the Lord. You know, let's follow the example of Jesus and disciple those who are freed from sin and demons. We have a responsibility to teach them the Word of God, connect them with a community of believers, and help them stay free from the devil's bondage.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.